Okay. We are continue from where we stop. So this morning 8:30 to I think about 9 o'clock supposed to be our puja chanting and reflection. But I will use this to share the Dhamma because I need to move on to the Heart Sutta, finish it quickly. Otherwise, we don't have enough time to do it. Today already our 6th day. We technically got 2.5 more days before the retreat, and we are on the 9th day. It's just the final closing ceremony and one final sitting. Then after that, we have breakfast. Then we will clean up the whole place. Then we will leave. Okay. We will do a simple salutation to the Triple Gem. Develop the faith, sadha, virya, then do it mindfully. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Okay. Heart Sutta, turn to page 58. We were at part 3. This one is just a post-retreat sharing. That time, I think Achan Achalo, first time he came down from Australia and Thailand to visit us, then meet out with the Kayamita. They have their 1-week retreat at Champaka Buddhist Lodge. So that closing post-retreat sharing, which I composed, was very good. So I read to you now. Conditions are very conducive and the retreat was very well received by all. It had also benefited so many of them in so many ways. This was made possible because of the continuity of mindfulness. That's why continuity of mindfulness is very important. Bhavana, the meditation, and great wholesomeness expressed by all throughout the retreat. And it had also resulted in such good condition for many of the participants to experience rather good meditative state and development of the 5 spiritual faculties. The condition during the retreat was very conducive for good bhavana and wholesomeness training to set the base for our past cultivation to connect back to us, thus helping to speed up our cultivation. So these are very important when you go for a retreat or what. If the condition and environment is very conducive, it will actually set the base for you to inherit your past cultivation to connect you back. Thus helping to speed up your cultivation. The reason is because every day we chant, we take refuge, we renew our precepts, we pay reverential salutation, maintaining quietness. This one you have to improve a bit. I think the kitchen where we eat our thing more and more noisy now. So you have to be mindful. Try your best not to talk so much. Well, we have entered the second phase. So although sometimes I join you to share, but because there is condition, so when I share, the rest of you should keep quiet. But I still can feel a lot of talking around. So if you really want to develop the training, when you are under training, try your very best. I'm not telling you you cannot, but try your very best to maintain silence. That's why maintaining quietness can make a big difference. Then when you do all this chanting, do it mindfully, take refuge, develop the faith to do it seriously. Then when you renew your precept, understand the precept and determine not to violate, because not worthwhile. And when you pay respect, reverential salutation, do it mindfully. Do it with awareness and understanding. It will benefit you. Then you do sitting and walking meditation and mindfulness, bhavana means contemplation, reflection and all those things. Follow by listening to the Dhamma, straightening of your views. Then you share merits, transfer merits and dedication of merits. Offerings and receiving of dana, radiating loving-kindness, metta, Dhamma discussion. We are after the session there. They every time come near me, then we have special, what they call, Dhamma discussion. Because a lot of the people there, sometimes they have this type of experience which they don't understand, but they know it's different, because it's from their past. Then at that time, we are Ajahn Hachalo, he was not in the position to explain it clearly to them. So after that, when they come to see me, I explain to them. Then only they start to understand. Then meditation reporting, followed by Q&A, Kamdhamma sharing, etc. All these are very, very wholesome and meritorious in nature. And together with the non-humans, our collective group consciousness has created a very conducive environment which was charged with a lot of very good meditative and wholesome energies to benefit so many of us, including all those who had one way or other contribute to the success of this wonderful retreat. At that time was because I had been teaching at that Champaka Buddhist Lodge for the last 6 years. Yeah, I was there in 2006 when Ing Chai invited me over. Then 2012 is 6 years later. So within 6 years, the meditation hall was also charged up. So when they have the retreat, that's why it's very conducive. And the collective energy there was beautiful. We had the devas there, the non-human also. They are very, very beautiful. So that was the place where they had the first retreat, and it was so beautiful. So that's why I purposely want to do this post-retreat sharing. This type of retreat is more intense and useful, hence the five spiritual faculties and the mind can develop very much faster. It will encourage and motivate many of the yogi or participants who have benefited from it to diligently determine to continue their post-retreat cultivation. Do not be complacent, otherwise one will lose this good state of trained mind within a very short span of post-retreat heedless living. See? This is the message and the warning. If you come here, train your mind, develop such beautiful mind state, you go back, you return to the old way of heedless living, then actually you don't really benefit much. But you can continue your training even in the midst of daily life through the daily mindfulness. You will progress very fast and you will understand very fast. The ability to maintain and continue this good momentum of post-retreat cultivation by integrating it into one's daily life is very important. The momentum of continuous post-retreat devotional, bhavana and mindfulness training, we are having a very good and disciplined daily routine, religious routine, and daily mindfulness or awareness training are equally important. A good daily religious routine can be in the form of at least twice a day of strict devotional and bhavana training. That is once in the morning and once at night before one sleep, followed by paying respect to the Buddha every time before you leave your house and every time when you return to your home. Maintain awareness of all bodily actions and movement within the present moment to cultivate your daily mindfulness until it is very stable. This one is a must. If you don't do this, you cannot develop the progress, because this one will make you heedful in the midst of day while you live your life. If you cannot have heedfulness in the midst of living life, doing your thing, your career, your duty, the understanding cannot come because you are heedless. The heedless eyes is dead. So most of the time you are heedless. You tell yourself, how can you progress? That's why daily mindfulness is the real meditation. That's why it's in the Satipatthana Sutta, the third training. After Anapanasati, when your mind is already mindful, use it to cultivate the mindfulness of four postures. Means whenever you stand, you're aware. Whenever you walk, you're aware. Whenever you sit, you're aware. Then when you want to lie down, you're aware. That's like all the movement and action. Then these are basic posture. If you can't even be mindful of this, you cannot develop the Sati Sampajana. Because Sati Sampajana covers everything in between the four posture. Means you must maintain mindfulness after you stand up and how you arise from the seat. Then how you actually move into walking. Then when you walk, what are the things you do? Sati Sampajana say, standing aware, looking forward aware, bending, stretching, turning aware, even answering nature's call aware. That is the ultimate training. That is why my teacher Acharyantra say the highest meditation, the real meditation, is we choose aware every action, every movement in the present moment. When I heard that, I straight away withdraw from my anapanasati, continuous mindfulness, back to daily awareness to develop the daily mindfulness. Because I realized without the energy field, I was hardly even 5 minutes aware throughout the day. Then I got a really, really wake up call. Means I have yet to do this real meditation. That's why I determined to train my mind to be mindful. Then together with Chuen Hua's the refuge requirement of 10,000 bao, I remember. Then within 2 weeks, the mindfulness came. Then I realized, how come the mind is like that? Because when the mindfulness came, the form and mind understand. Well, when you are in that state of mindfulness, the form and mind will understand, like swimming. When you really know how to swim without the float, you will understand what buoyancy is. Then you realize you don't have to struggle to stay afloat. Then swimming becomes very easy, straightforward. If I want to swim, I just move my hand and my leg because buoyancy is already there. So I don't have to struggle in the water. I don't have to have the fear that I may sink, I may drink water and all those things. Meditation is the same. The natural state of mind before the stirring, before the delusion, is already peaceful, aware, silent. That is the sati before the arising of thought. But you don't understand. You try to develop this mindfulness, just like swimming, by struggling, by doing a lot of things. The moment you meditate with the thought, thought is active. How can you get back to the natural state? That's why you have to relax and silent. Then sati is already there. The moment you are attentive without thought or silent, you are already aware. You don't have to try to be aware. Try to be aware is the thought trying to be aware. And they think by noting, that is mindfulness. You go and do. You create more thought, I tell you. The real mindfulness is the awareness without word one. Body and mind as one. So when you understand, you are not deluded. You will know how to develop the actual cultivation. Then like swimming, The natural state already aware. I only need to train my mind to be silent. Why am I not peaceful? How come I cannot be silent? Then the Buddha said, because of mental hindrance, born of your heedlessness, wrong view, sakkayaditti. That's why you respond to sense experience. You react to it, like, dislike, pleasant, unpleasant. And these two are the first two hindrances, sensual desire and ill will. Then, when you cannot understand what you are doing, like meditation, you feel sleepy. Sloth and torpor set in. Then when you have problem, you don't keep your precept. You don't understand life. You don't have right view. You develop a lot of fear, worry, anxiety. Then you become afflicted, sorrow, lamentation, sadness, grief, sets in. Then you are not careful, it triggers depression. So these are the things that you have to develop the clear understanding that this is not the way to live life. So because of all this, your mind is not peaceful. That's why restlessness becomes the fourth mental hindrance. It hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why you don't keep precept. You don't have right understanding. You don't train yourself. You don't go and understand the essential Dhamma or what constitutes evil, the three evil roots. Then understand what are the hindrances that hinders you. Then develop the opposite five spiritual faculties. Then only you can develop the real understanding of meditation. So when you know the hindrances are the one that hinders you and you cannot meditate, so you have to cultivate the opposite five. But while you are cultivating the opposite five spiritual faculty, it takes a while for it to stabilize, to be effective. So in the meantime, you still want to meditate. What must you do? Yeah? You must use a skillful means to decondition the heedless thinking. That's why you develop mind sweeping method, or the 6 hours you can use, no problem. Then after that, the silent mind will arise, sati will arise, but you have to stabilize it by anchoring it to an object of meditation. And then anapanasati come in, or any of your other type of meditation technique and method can be used. As long as you understand the purpose, it's to stabilize the mindfulness, to anchor the mind there. And then meditation become very simple. Then you don't deludedly, like most people, every time you go and do that technique, thinking that you don't do that technique, you are not meditating, which means you don't understand what is meditation. That technique is just a skillful means to train your mind, to anchor your mind, to stabilize sati. That's why in the Satipatthana Sutta, first foundation, Kayanupassana, after the training, Anapanasati, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath, you go to develop mindfulness of the second category of practice, which is mindfulness of the four posture. Then after that, mindfulness of sati sampajana, or mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action or movement in the present. And then only you have the silent mind. Then throughout the day, because you are mindful, then that silent mind, which is sati and samadhi, it will insight into phenomena, awaken, understand. That's why all the foundation of mindfulness, from kaya to anchor your mind, to train your mind to have mindfulness, then stabilize it until ever mindful. And then you can move on to contemplate the four elements of your body. 32 parts, then 9 stages of cemetery decomposition. Then with this understanding, you can move on to feeling. Because feeling are mental aggregate, more subtle, more difficult to see. Form are more gross, easier to see. That's why when you have this daily mindfulness, direct seeing, the characteristic of nature you understand, means you can see physical phenomena. Now you have to move into mental phenomena. That's why you go to feeling, Vedana Nupassana. Then feeling, the Buddha say, got three. Pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral feeling. So you have to understand why the Buddha say, when feeling has become pleasant feeling, you must be aware. And when feeling has become unpleasant feeling, you must be aware. Aware means you know the mind has stirred. From pure feeling, it has become craving, sensual desire, or ill will. Means mental hindrance arisen already. So when you meditate, you don't go and labor pain, or enjoy the peaceful experience of meditation, blissful, pity, calm, still. These are all mental hindrance, because positive and negative. So when you understand the purpose of Vedana Nupassana is to make you aware that your mind has stirred, mental hindrance has arisen. Even neutral feeling is delusion, indifference. So this is what Vedana Nupassana is for, to be aware that this mind has moved. That's why you train this mind to develop understanding, to straighten your view so that it doesn't happen. That's why the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought, wrong thought, mental hindrance, you apply them. Then you will understand. Then after that, you move on further to Cittanupassana. Cittanupassana is to see even more clearly. Feeling is still very gross and very simple, very easy to see because it's just a movement. But Cittanupassana is mindfulness of the citta, which is the consciousness and its content. Within the content, the mental intention is very fine. That's why the Buddha said when you do Cittanupassana, when there is greed or selfishness within the content of consciousness, you must be aware. Then you must deal with it through the five ways, through wisdom, finally. When the content of consciousness has aversion, anger, envy, jealousy, you must be aware. When the content of consciousness has delusion, you must be aware. Then when the consciousness is shrinking, you must be aware. Means you create thought. Then when the consciousness is expanding, you must be aware. So all of the various state and movement of content and its consciousness, you must be aware. This will allow you to develop wisdom. Then all the subtle selfishness, envy, jealousy, emotional negativity, conceit and whatever, and delusion, especially self-delusion. You start to see everything you do is very selfish. The ego is there, for me or not for me. And all these are your wrong view that condition you to behave, act and do things this way. So Vedana Cittanupassana leading to Cittanupassana is to let you see all this so that you understand. Then you move on to Dhamma Nupassana. Dhamma Nupassana, the first category of training is mindfulness of the five mental hindrances. That's why you have to be aware of them. Then only you understand you still have, you have not rooted out. And these are the ones that will hinder you from entering the meditative state. Then after that, the Buddha said you develop mindfulness of the five aggregate of form and mind to understand that they are impermanent, they lead to suffering. And because of impermanent, it's empty, non-self. Then only you move on to the third category of mindfulness of the six internal sense bases, six external sense bases, or the 18 sense rhyme, to trace the origination factor of all this defilement. Then retrospectively, through wisdom and understanding, straightening of you, you reverse it. And then you realize this is where the Dhamma is. This is where you can become different. When you straighten your view, avijja paccaya sankhara less. You have less sankhara, less thinking. Then your mind become more quiet, more peaceful. But as you straighten your view, you don't think so much like before. Because less avijja, less sankhara. Then one day when your views are relatively stable and straight, then this one will more or less root up. Avijja or self-delusion will be weakened until finally root out. So once root out, no more avijja, no more sankhara. That's why you don't think anymore. You only need to arise the thought when you need to use it to live life. You no longer pay attention to things that can trigger off defilement. That's why things that are unfit for attention, you will know. You will not pay attention. You will not be deluded by it. You will not be drawn into it. then you will be able to arise the right thought and all those things. And this is how you progress. Then after you have developed this third category of Dhammanupassana training, you will move on to the fourth. Well, by then, you have this ability to do the fourth foundation. The fourth foundation is mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment. So during this training, because you straighten your view, and your mindfulness will trigger Dhamma investigation, second factor of enlightenment. Then like I explained earlier on, Dhamma investigation will confirm what the Buddha said. Then your faith strengthened, become unshakable. Then the virya drive you. That is the third factor of enlightenment. Then when you have virya, you will cultivate. Then the sati become more stable. Then when the sati become more stable, you will experience piti. Then piti will lead to sukha. But sukha is not an enlightenment factor. So you know how to relax, silent, it become pasati. Pasati is a silent mind. Tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. This is the meditative mind. So you use this to meditate in daily life. Then as you stabilize this pasati in your meditation, it will become samadhi. Then with sati and samadhi, you will have the direct seeing. That's why with the wisdom, panya, the last seven enlightenment factor, upeka, will arise. This is how you develop the ability to awaken. Then after that, the last foundation of mindfulness, which is the Four Noble Truths, mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths, become very easy. Well, when the enlightenment factors are there, you are sure you are on the right path. That's why there is this purification of path and non-path. You will understand that you are on the right path. Otherwise, the enlightenment factors are not there. So this is the whole training. Yeah? So hopefully, with this, you can develop very deep understanding. Okay, I read on. The training of the mind in Kaya Nupassana is to slow down your heedless habitual thinking and not your action and movement. Always remember, where you think a lot, you think ahead. That's why you are not with the moment. So to slow down the thinking, the heedless habitual thinking, you have to decondition it, develop the straightening of view so that you don't think so much. Then cultivate Kaya Nupassana to be with the moment more and more until you are deconditioned back to heedful living, no more heedless living. Then every moment of awareness or sati will help you to break the momentum of your heedless habitual thinking, thus enabling you to stabilize your daily mindfulness training. Do you understand this sentence or not? Every moment of awareness or sati will help you to break the momentum of this heedless thinking. I show you this one, you will know. You know what is momentum, huh? Huh? What is momentum? Huh? Rate of change of momentum is force. What is momentum? Huh? You know what is momentum, huh? When this one move, the momentum will swing, understand not? Because there is a momentum. Means very easy to swing this fellow, understand not? Because it has already moved. There is a momentum. But the moment I stop, what happens? To start this, I need a force, understand not? What is force? Mass time, acceleration, or rate of change of momentum. So the force depends on the rate of change of momentum. Momentum is mv. You know what is mv? Mass times velocity. There are physics people who understand. Art people don't understand. Don't need to know. As long as you know when you are habitual thinking, your thought become autopilot. It will think by itself. Your thought will respond to memory. And the momentum is there. That's why you become heedless. Habitual thinking. The moment you are mindful, what happens? It stop this momentum. Then there is a break. Then, to become heedless again, you need to start again. Not so easy, is that? If you don't have mindfulness at all, I ask you what will happen. This thing faster and faster and faster and faster. And you actually deludedly allow it to go on. That's why this heedless thinking become habitual, and you will be as if dead, the Buddha said. The heedless are as if dead. So this one, hopefully you understand why you have to have sati. At least initially to break the momentum. Then if you can continue for a longer period, this momentum will become like slowly, slowly dissipate. Then it loses its power to think heedlessly. That's why from heedless living, you become heedful naturally. Because you have reversed the training with an understanding. Okay? Next page. Oh. Chapter